Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a life and love transformational coach at Your Next Amazing Story. I'm so excited because today's show is about it's never too late to make a difference. And our special guest today is Eva Medilek, and she's a high-performance relationship coach. And so today what we wanted to do is to have a real conversation about Black Lives Matter and how we all can make a difference today and in the future. And, you know, this is a really unprecedented time, and that has really created this startling awakening for everybody, right? And the truth is, it's time for change. And we don't get to say anymore that it's not my problem. It is our problem. It's everybody's problem. And this is about creating change and transformation in the world. And here's what I know about change is that change makes everyone uncomfortable, right? But what I also know to be true is amazing things can happen when we all choose to transform not only ourselves, but the world. And here's what else I know is that we all get to be proactive instead of reactive. And we all get to be a part of the solution for change and transformation ahead. And also what I know is that we get to listen, because listening is so important. We get to listen with an open mind. We get to learn. And most importantly, we get to love. So without further ado, Eva, I would love for you to introduce yourself and just share with the ladies.
Well, thank you for having me, Suzanne. Like she said, my name is Eva Medilek, and I'm a high performance relationship coach. And who I work with and who I help is really powerful, successful women. And I help them have happier, healthier, more intimate relationships, connections, and influence in their lives, at work, at home, and in their communities without giving up their power. You can have success without sacrificing your health, well-being, and relationships. And I love that the work that I do is really so important to what's going on in the world today, because our relationships are being challenged in a way that we've never seen before, starting with the COVID-19 to the now protest and uprising for Black lives. It's just a powerful time for our relationships and connections and for us to have an impact, to have an influence, and to make a difference.
Yeah, and it's so important. And you know, it affects all parts of our lives. It's not just about it affecting our personal lives, it's affecting us professionally. And so we really get to step into this and embrace it and say, how can I make a difference? So Eva, myself included, as proactive as I am, I want to know how we can make a difference.
Well, it first starts, honey, with listening. You know, I put on a forum yesterday, and it's called the Allyship Awareness Forum, and it was a listen and learn event. And it's important for allies of Black lives, people who are not Black, and we'll just put it that way, to listen to what we are saying, what we need, how we are feeling, without, I would say, telling us how we should feel, how we should act, what we should do. You know, we feel that when that's happening in our ally community, we don't feel like we're being heard. And it's still symbolic of the knee on our necks. There's been a knee on our necks for 400 years. For over 400 years, and it's time for allies of Black lives to listen. Because right now we're in a lot of pain, we're in a lot of grieving, we're in a lot of generational and ancestral PTSD is coming up. We are not okay. And when we hear, and don't take this the wrong way, but our oppressors telling the oppressed what they should be doing, it's very patronizing, condescending, and it smacks of superiority, and that's not helping right now. So the first step is to listen so that you can become aware of your blind spots, aware of how systemic racism has impacted your life it's impacted all of our lives, black, brown, white, non-white, however you want to put it, white presenting, because it is the system. And when people say the system is broken, I'm like, no, it's not. That is the system that we have to break.
Right.
So it's important to realize and become aware and acknowledge how your patterns and beliefs and behaviors, where they were nurtured from, where they were born from, how this systemic racism has created any superiority, fragility, and benefit to your lives, and to recognize that and to see even the things that you say and do, how it affects the lives that you want to support and be an ally for. So it's first to listen, learn, and become aware. Those are the first exact steps.
I love that. I love that. So you had mentioned blind spots, and we all have them, right? Mm-hmm. Not just with Black Lives, but in all parts of our lives, but with Black Lives Matter, right? Do you see some of our prevalent blind spots that we're totally missing the mark and we're like not getting it?
Well, it's actually called microaggressions. I have a word for it. And one of the things that I'm learning in all of this too, but I would say, you know, you're not immune to what's going on in social media, but when we are fighting for Black lives and you post, well, all lives matter. That's a blind spot, because you're hearing Black Lives Matter means only Black Lives Matter. And that's not what we're saying. We're in this conversation right now. Yes, all lives matter. That's like saying, I'm going to go for a breast cancer walk. Well, what about lung cancer? What about colon cancer? What about brain cancer? No, this walk is for breast cancer. So for the purposes of this discussion, this climate, this event, this turmoil in the world, we're going to be talking about breast cancer and Black lives in that way. I'm not a racist. Well, yes, you are. We all are. Black, brown, white, there's systemic racism. There's information out there and videos that you can watch where Black children, young Black children, are being shown a Black and a white doll and being asked questions about which one is the good one and which one is the bad one. And they all instinctively label the white as good and the Black is bad. And these are six-year-olds.
Wow.
That's the system. That's one of the saddest videos you can watch, actually, because then they point to themselves. Well, because I'm dark, I'm bad. And, you know, denying it. Listen, the drum of racism is denial. You've got to first acknowledge that you're a racist. And what that means is, you know, and everybody will hear this and go, I'm not a racist, and the defense will come up. So the first thing I want to say is listen and learn without defending and responding. The second thing I'll say about that is, what's your definition of racist? Because we all have a visual, right? When you hear the word racist, what do you see when you hear the word racist? Tell me what the first visual is that you see when you hear that word.
Hate. That's the first word that comes to my mind. Hate. And it's just, it's horrible to me. It's just, it makes me so upset, because that's not how my parents raised me. My parents raised me to embrace everybody. And so, you know, like how you talked about not being, you know, I'm not a racist, but you know, this has woken me up to, but am I anti-racist, right? And I think that's an important conversation, because I'm being totally transparent. I didn't know the difference.
Right, right. So when you hear the word racist, the visual is hate, swastika tattoos, skinheads, Confederate flag, cross burning, white hoods. That's not what we're saying. And as a Black woman, those are the racists I appreciate, because they're proud of it. They let you know, you can see it, you can tell it, you can taste it, you can smell it, that they are a racist by the words they use, their actions, their way of being. They're letting you know that we are racist. the racist we're talking about that's the scariest is the systemic racist. It's the white privilege. It's the white fragility. So when you are saying to me, I'm not a racist, I love everybody, my parents didn't raise me that way, I have Black friends, I fight for Black causes, I am not a racist. What we're saying is the way that you benefit from not being Black, some of the things that you say and the things that you do is part of the racism problem that's woven into our system in America. And I'll just speak for America because I've never lived in any other country more than a month or two. And so we're all racist. We all will walk down the street and see a large Black man, and our first thought is fear. We could be harmed, we could be hurt, we could be attacked. Mm-hmm. Instead of seeing probably the gentle giant that's within that man. We all do it. I do it. You've done it. And so that's racism. You know, I bet it 4 years ago when I first went through a leadership program, I made it my mission that if I felt afraid of someone because of their skin color or their appearance, I would smile at them. I would make a conscious effort of smiling at them and so that their defenses can melt, because the Black people in this country have had to live their lives on a state of alert. And some people, everyone handles it differently. And so what I would say to racism is, you know, there's a movie out on Netflix called 13th, which was an eye-opening to me, that when slavery was abolished, and the first definition I have to say is we are not slaves. We were not slaves. We were enslaved. So language matters. We were kings and queens in Africa, brought over in chains and enslaved. So when slavery was abolished, the Constitution's loophole in the 13th Amendment was to make us criminals instead. That's why there's a disproportionate number of Blacks in our jails. That's why our prison population is always on the rise. The things that they make criminal activity for, that they classify as criminal activity, is more likely to affect Blacks than anyone else. For example, you'll get a lighter sentence for cocaine trafficking than for crack cocaine trafficking. Cocaine is a higher level drug, costs lots more money. Crack was cheap. So all of the people in jail for crack, and then the white collar crime of cocaine, probation, slap on the wrist, they're not in the prison system. That's the system that criminalized us when they could no longer enslave us. And that was the system's way of keeping us enslaved. So there's so much to learn about why we are in this mess today. There's so much ancestral grieving that we're doing right now in the Black community as a whole. And so anyone who is not Black gets to step back and exhale and listen with the intent of learning and not defending, because the minute you say, I'm not a racist, is probably right now one of the most racist things you can say. You get to recognize and acknowledge, yes, I have benefited from white privilege, from not being Black. I have had benefits for not being Black. That's not to lessen anybody else's suffering and abuse and hard work. But right now we're just talking skin color. That's it.
So, Eva, how can we start to shift and make these changes to support the Black community?
I would say you need to start doing the internal work first, finding out your blind spots, recognizing them, being open to feedback. You know, when someone corrects you about something you said that could be taken as a microaggression, to not defend yourself. Just know that for me, I know everybody, I choose to believe that everybody has good intentions and a good heart. But I was quiet for a long time to not let people who said things to me that can be perceived as a micro aggression, of racism. I kept it quiet. I hurt inside because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings because they hurt me, which is really the epitome of white fragility, of protecting your feelings, because in general, you have never had to be as resilient as Black people have had to be simply based on the color of their skin. There's other things that happened in your life that make you resilient. So I always feel I need to preface that when people are like, you don't know my story, not me, I'm different. That's racism coming out, because that's denying the fact that, yes, I can be the poorest white person on the planet and I'll have inherent privileges just because of my skin color. And it's just a fact. So I would say you get to work on bringing intimacy in your relationships with yourself, at home, at work, and in your communities. Ask questions, listen, learn. Don't respond about how you were raised, the church you were in. God loves everybody. I'm sending you light and love. Don't do the spiritual bypass. Not me, it doesn't affect me. That's not helping us. Look inside and find the areas in your life where you have benefited from systemic racism. And recognize it and own it. Learn about it. Learn about its history. Only then can you be an agent for change. And I always say to people who want to be an ally for Black lives, if you see something, say something. You guys get to call out racism in your own communities so that you can bring people forth and offer them a new perspective. Are you open to listening and learning? Are you opening to really hearing what Black people are saying at this time and not filtering it by, hey, I found a Black person who doesn't, you know, who doesn't agree with Black Lives Matter, and I'm going to put that on the internet? Because what you're doing now is doing things that are going to make you feel better, because your authority and your privilege is under attack right now. And you're in a position where it's threatened and it's scary and it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for someone like you, who was raised by a really, really sweet woman. And, you know, it's funny. I'm just going to tell your viewers right now that Suzanne and I, as we started this interview, realized that I knew her mother. And her mother's a very special lady. And we made that connection immediately. And so I know how you were raised. I know how you were raised. And I know there are many people out there who are raised by good, beautiful people. And I also know that the Japanese community has its own challenges with the system in America and their history as well. But what I would say to you is that in spite of it all, you're not Black. And you're not criminalized for just the color of your skin. And that's the difference.
Yeah. And it's very true. And I do know that, and I want to make a difference. I want to be proactive and not reactive. I want to listen. I want to learn. I want to learn how I can make a difference, not just in your life, Eva, but all Black lives. And it's important to me. It's so important to me. And my concern, and I don't know if you have this concern too, is I'm scared that as things start to quiet down, that people are going to go back to the way it was. And so how can we not go back to the way it was and still keep moving forward to that change and transformation?
Well, I would say that you, number one, like I said, if you see something, say something. If you hear somebody or see somebody saying things that are appropriate or that smacks of white privilege or white fragility, call it out, call it as you see it. Make it uncomfortable for people to stay comfortable in their racism or in denial of their racism, number one. Educate yourself about what's going on and why, educate yourself on how you can bring more diversity into your businesses. Do business with people who are bringing diversity into their businesses. One of the main things that was suggested by one of the panelists that was on my forum yesterday was start a book club. Start a book club that helps you and your community learn about white supremacy, anti-racism, white fragility. There's so many books on this subject. And, you know, it's important that a month from now, when you hear people saying, oh, we still have to talk about this, is this still going on? Isn't it gone away yet? No, it needs to be at the forefront, and you need to take actionable steps. If you want to start giving more business to Black business owners, don't call your Black friend, your one or two Black friends, and say, hey, I need a bookkeeper, unless your Black friend is a bookkeeper. You know, you go to recruiters, you go on LinkedIn, you do whatever you need to do and vet people and have the application process. And if there's a highly qualified Black candidate, make a conscious effort to give back Black people jobs. It's part of, you know, you want to be careful not to be a white savior in this conversation. Like, I'm going to go out and save all the Black people and I'm going to have an all Black staff and everything. You know, you want to make some restitution. You want to help balance the scales and make it right in a way. But it starts with you being open. Call out other influencers in your communities who are not doing enough. Make it uncomfortable for them to not do enough and to do more. You're gonna lose family members, you're gonna lose friends, you're gonna lose subscribers, you're going to lose clients over taking a stand. You've gotta be willing to take that risk and create a more inclusive following. But it starts from the top down. It starts from being a role model. You get to role model the behavior that you want to see in the world. So it starts with you and you, who you get to be.
And it all starts with you and making a difference. Yeah. All of us. Because
like
that's
you
how
said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But like you said, it's never too late to make a difference. Never too late. You can do something no matter what age you are.
Yeah. It's so true. And I really want everyone to see that is, you know, maybe you weren't doing enough before, or maybe you made some missteps, right? Or maybe you stuck your foot in your mouth by saying, I'm not racist, or, but don't stay there. Don't stay there and beat yourself up. Take that energy and say, okay, now I'm going to really make a difference and do what I can to help change the world.
Yeah. If it's to be, it's up to me. And you know, when you keep making it about feeling bad and defending yourself, you are making it about you and yeah, taking your eye off of the issue. For example, I never did enough before. I always protected white fragility. I have a white husband. So I am just as guilty as everyone else, but the difference, you know, I was telling you, I'm going to be 60 in 2 months. I made it my commitment to find a way to make a difference in the way that I can make a difference in my gift of connections, my gift of helping people with communication so that their communication lands, my gift of influence and persuasion by being a high performance coach. You know, we learn how to be a role model. We learn how to influence. We learn how to create habits that create courage and take bold action so that we can make a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. So one of the things I did was I started a Facebook group called The Intimacy of Race. And in that group, it's a safe space for allies of Black lives to make mistakes and be messy and get it wrong and get coached around it, to have resources to learn things that you need to learn to be a better ally. And, you know, it's a free Facebook group. It's open to all, but I saw a need in our white allies that have their hearts in the right place and have good intentions to give them guidance and coaching and support without just making you wrong. You know, that doesn't help anybody. That doesn't help anybody because we see you. We see your hearts. Those of you who are true allies, we see you. And we don't want you to be an ally that's not an effective one because we know this is hard and it's uncomfortable. But for me, I see you and I want to help you. And so if you're part of that Facebook group, it's a safe space to screw up. And it's a safe space to get coaching on how to be better and do better so that we can all have better.
I love that. I love that you're being so proactive, Eva, and it's so important and we all get to change the world. So, Eva, how can the ladies find you?
Well, they can go on my website, evamedelec.com. It's my name. And I also have a free gift that I would love to share with your community. It's an ebook that I put together on how to have powerful, effective communications and connections in all of your relationships that, you know, is my guidebook in my marriage for sure, but also in how I speak to my clients, how I coach, how I listen, how I create a safe space and create generous listening and just a way of being, because first you have to be before you can do and have. And it's called Six Powerful Ways of Being. So you can take my website. It's on my website, or you can use my www.evamedelec.com/PWOB, Powerful Ways of Being, PWOB.
Awesome. So ladies, you can go get Eva's free gift on her website. So thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available both in video and audio format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com.